to Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz. And this is the podcast where we say we're going to talk about horror movies, but instead we go off on wildly long tangents that involve Smallville, the Santa Claus franchise, or a variety of other subjects that do not include horror. Maybe Grey's Anatomy. You know who loves Grey's Anatomy? My fantastic co-host, Jefferson Miller. And, oh my God, it is him. It is the co-host, Jefferson Miller, here with me once again. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I'm not signing autographs right now.
But I sit in line for like 3 hours.
You know, I just like privacy when I go out to eat. I'm with my family.
Where, right now?
Yeah, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Where are we sitting right now? Where are we?
Papa Gino's.
Oh, I love Papa Gino's, dude.
Well, then sit down and eat and stop bugging me.
You know, on my trip to Massachusetts, going back, like we went to a Papa Gino's the night. Yeah, that we got back. It's not a great pizza place.
It's the nostalgia factor.
It is. And it still just tastes the exact same as it always has. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my favorite moments going back to Massachusetts, was just getting two Papa Gino's pizzas and then slowly eating it over the course of like 2 days.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where would it rank on the scale of pizza places?
Oh, God. Pretty low.
Okay. Yeah. We don't have to say it specifically then.
I mean, like, let's be honest. Round Table is pretty up there.
Yeah, yeah, they've fallen in rankings in recent years, but they're still towards the top.
Round Table.
Yep.
What would you say is better than Round Table right now?
Oh, Delish.
Oh my
Delish
God.
Pizza. All it's right. An independent chain.
You might be right.
In at least in Sacramento. So sorry, folks, but
you know, I didn't realize that Delish offered like the option to cut the pizza into squares.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Party style, I think is what it's called.
I had them do that a couple of weeks ago, and I got really excited, but then I just got really disappointed because, you know, you just get the random like side pieces where it's like a little triangle, it's mostly crust.
Yeah. It's like, this is bullshit. Also, I like having crust on every slice.
Me too.
It's just like eating a weird middle piece. It feels weird. Like I'm eating the rest of someone else's pizza.
I used to think I wanted that. And then this last time that I got it, I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to get square pizza again. Mm-hmm. And it kind of disappoints me because that was something I've just always thought I loved.
It does work well for a party though, because there's such smaller pieces.
I mean, what
if it's like one pizza is like 50 pieces instead of like 12?
But then I'm imagining like you get to the party late and most of the pizza's gone.
Yeah, you just show up and triangle crust.
You have the crust.
Yeah, and one mushy middle piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of just been touched by everybody because they've slowly like pulled the other pieces away from it.
Yeah, exactly. You have to rip them apart. Yeah. I'm going to recommend here that that you censor the name of the pizza place we're talking about, mm-hmm. because they didn't give us any money for this. The whole intro to our podcast is an advertisement.
But they could give us
that
money.
That we didn't get paid for.
But that's how good they are. We just want to support them. Mm-hmm. Although if they wanted to give us money, I wouldn't say no to that.
I mean, if they gave us money, if really most people gave us money, I wouldn't say no to that.
This is true. If you want to give us some money to promote something of yours, like, I don't know what people do anymore. Something
like a body lotion,
of course,
or an
handmade soaps.
Yeah. Custom shoes,
dirty shoes, necklaces, old shoes,
you know, trips to places.
Yeah. You let us know and we will sponsor you. Anyways, going back to exactly what I was saying, welcome back to the podcast where we go off tangents literally immediately or maybe an hour into. Mm-hmm. Welcome on back to Hurwitz's House of Horror. So I'm sure everybody can probably tell right now, but I am getting over a little bit of a cold, so my voice is extra nasally and will be all over the bloody shop. So I apologize about that. I do have to specify, it's not COVID. I feel like this is something I now have to specify.
Let's hope not.
All the time. I've taken tests.
Okay, good.
Multiple. And it's just really annoying because I was telling you earlier, it's just like a runny nose, which is making my throat, make me cough. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I feel fine. It's so fucking dumb. Are you okay?
Oh God, you made me sick.
I want everyone to know it was because Jeff just choked on his coffee that I got.
Okay, nice try.
I'm trying to cover up
the truth.
I will post a picture of your coffee. I'm taking a picture of it right now. You put that coffee
what
back.
Coffee?
All right, well, my phone is not working. And the proof is right there.
Oh God.
Yes, so I apologize about my voice, but you know, that's not going to stop us from recording a new podcast episode.
And for this week.
Yes. For this week, let's jump into our Horror Hour news. Jeff, as always, we love to start with you. You were actually describing some pretty spooky and scary things on the latest episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. even scarier than that. Have any of you seen the terrifying tale, The Santa Claus 3?
Is this our Santa Claus segment?
Yeah, this is our Santa Claus segment. I mean, it is. We're getting close to Christmas.
This is true.
Last we spoke, I had watched the Santa Claus 1 and 2.
Correct.
Since then, I have watched the third film and the first episode of the new series, which I thought was going to be a movie.
I thought it was a movie as well.
The Santa Clauses. It's, you know, there. It is a little horrifying in some ways. It's funny now that Santa Claus, played by Tim Allen, one of the Santa Clauses, one of his like gripes is that people don't believe in Christmas anymore. And there's a line in there somewhere where he's like, you can't even say Merry Christmas to all anymore.
Wait, is this like regular Tim Allen or like the character he's playing?
Santa Claus? The character of Santa Claus played by Tim Allen. So it's definitely taken a Tim Allen turn where, you know, Santa's like
TAT.
Wow. PC culture. And it's like, oh, Santa.
Did they really? Okay, cool.
So, yeah. So pretty horrifying. You know, Martin Short playing Jack Frost and freezing a young girl's parents to death. Okay. You know, Santa being murdered over and over. It's a scary tale.
Does he like get like trapped in a time loop?
They use a snow globe to travel through time. And Jack Frost prevents Tim Allen from killing Santa, and he kills himself and steals his coat and then turns into Jack Frost Santa.
So there are multiple Santas then? There's technically
he like rewrites history. It's like it's very Back to the Future.
Of course. And he becomes tries to have like sex with his mom.
Yeah, yeah. He tries to have sex with Tim Allen's mom. Mm-hmm. And his own mom.
Of course.
And then he starts like a Biff's pleasure palace, but in the North Pole.
Mm, classic.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the my news.
That's our Santa Claus news segment.
Yeah. What about you?
My Horror Hour news is a little sparse this week. Not too much really happened. Something I watched actually last night was called Alien Abduction, the McPherson tapes. No, it's called Alien Abduction Incident at Lake County.
And does this have any affiliation with the Alien franchise?
No, it does not. Although I will get to that in just a minute there.
Interesting. Okay.
For whatever reason, I've just been kind of in an alien mood a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about this, but aliens were kind of my first horror experience, or my first kind of like horror, like real memory, starting again with E.T. and then the Nova documentaries and just things you'd see on TV. This came out in 1998 and it's a found footage type deal. It came out before Blair Witch as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I believe. Or this is actually a remake of a movie from 1989 by the same director.
Just 89?
With a bigger budget. Ah, that's right. It's when you were born.
Yep.
Good year. Ah, and it's again, a remake of this found footage movie. I saw this when I was maybe 15 or so back in Massachusetts. I found it somewhere online and I really liked it then. I was going through like an alien phase also, or again, and I just wanted to watch it last night. And it's about an hour and a half and it's pretty decent because it really doesn't show a lot of the aliens. It's a lot of the whole, like you sort of see outlines and it's through a camera from 1998. So It's very like that shitty footage. It's bad quality, but you still know what's going on there. It's longer than it has to be, I'll be honest, because they try and make it. They try and like put in all these plot lines that are giving story and background to these characters, which I can kind of appreciate, but it's also just like, all right, I get it. Let's move this along. There's like a little bit of racism in it for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But thankfully like it's pushed to the sides because, you know, when there are aliens attacking you, you want to put racism in the back seat. Right. But it's pretty freaky. And the aliens are portrayed as like the classic grays with the big heads and the big eyes. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty freaky. And I just thought it was a lot of fun. I really like aliens in a horror aspect. I like that way that they're presented. And it got me kind of thinking, I think we should review or do an episode on the movie called Fire in the Sky from 1993 or maybe 1995, I think it is. Have you seen that?
I don't believe so.
It's based on a true story. Is
Christian Bale in that?
No.
Oh.
You're thinking of Reign of Fire with the dragons.
Oh, you're right.
Matthew McConaughey.
And they're not in this.
No, neither of them. Or are there any dragons?
Oh, okay. Well, okay. That's fine.
But I think it's a cool alien abduction movie, and it has some really scary elements.
Oh, you know what I was reading? Okay.
What?
I feel like I was reading about this. Is this the movie where it's based on a guy's actual
experience?
He's like, I was abducted by aliens, and it was really intense, and there's some really graphic scenes. Mm-hmm. Once he's abducted and everything. Okay,
yeah.
I was reading a lot about this movie at one point.
I think his name is Travis Walton.
Yeah.
I saw this when I was younger, and it really did some damage to me as well, understandably.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a cool sci-fi horror movie.
Okay,
I think
we could watch that.
We should check out at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I did read that he was like, they're like, well, there's no basis to anything he's saying, and he's like addicted to fame or something. I think that was that guy.
Really?
But anyway, yeah. He's like, I just want people to know my name, and I want to be known.
Cool.
Yeah, he's kind of a weird dude.
I mean, if I got abducted by aliens, especially an E.T. alien, I'd be pretty upset.
That's right.
They're the worst kind of aliens. It's funny, like the ship that shows up kind of reminds me a little bit of the UFO that showed up in E.T. Mm-hmm. in the movie that I watched last night.
Movie, in the found footage one?
Yeah, Incident at Lake County is what it is called. Yeah, that's my first piece of information right there. That was pretty fun. My second is, this is more going into staying with the aliens in horror, a bit of a sci-fi horror thing, because we have covered the original Alien movie directed by Ridley Scott from 1979. There has been an update. I don't know if you knew about this, but there is a movie coming to Hulu about Alien. It's going to be continuing in that franchise. Did you know about this?
Oh, yes. I did know this.
Yeah, it's being presented by 20th Century Studios and Hulu, which we have been mentioning. Hulu has been doing some okay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Hellraiser series, or they got the new Hellraiser movie. They did Prey. And I guess they're like, people like what we're doing. Granted, this has been in development for a little while, but I have a good feeling about this, hopefully.
Yeah, I like that they're kind of leaning into that.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we're revitalizing some series.
It's like, what if we do it, but good?
In kind of like a horror, you know, mostly kind of horror area, sci-fi. Yeah, and do it well. And I'm into it.
So the lead has been cast for this movie. Her name is Kylie Spanny. I apologize if I got that name incorrect. But she's been cast as the lead in this. And people are starting to speculate that this is going to be Newt from the sequel Aliens.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. There's talk that this is going to be a reboot, but not much has really been said about this.
A reboot in terms of possibly, I mean, are you saying if it's Newt, or this is a separate theory?
If it's Newt.
I feel like, yeah, maybe similarly to the way they handled Halloween, where they're like,
exactly.
And now only Alien and Aliens exist.
Because Alien 3 wasn't very good.
Right.
Resurrections was really weird and not that great. And I feel like Prometheus and Alien Covenant weren't that well received, and they were a bit all over like the place with when it came to their lore and what was actually going on.
Right.
Granted, I liked Prometheus for the most part. It was visually beautiful. I just liked that sci-fi kind of stuff. And there were some really creepy elements in that too. Covenant was a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
I remember that there were the two Davids,
I couldn't even tell you.
Really?
I just remember Michael Fassbender's character being like real spooky in that one. And
there were two of them.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Right.
And they played the flute together.
Yeah. I was like, why? I don't know. Yeah.
But
so
anyways,
hopefully this would be, I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
For like kind of a soft reboot.
I think that is what they're doing. If they are, I would be okay with that, because if this is new, they would have to not include Alien 3, because in that beginning of that, she dies. And there was talk a couple years ago about sort of like a soft reboot of the series that was going to bring back Sigourney Weaver, Newt, and Michael Biehn. That they were going to just do the Halloween thing.
Right.
And I think that was going to be brought by Cameron, but then that didn't end up. No, it was going to be the director of District 9.
Oh, David Blomkamp.
Yes. Yeah, he was going to be doing that. But then they ended up scrapping that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think partially due to him moving on or something.
I think so.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. I would love to see this series brought back into the limelight and have some justice done to it. Because, I mean, what was the last Alien movie that you saw that you enjoyed?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Even Alien vs. Predator.
I don't think I ever even watched any of those.
Really?
Yeah.
I used to really like Aliens vs. Predator, which was the second one. But then I rewatch it and it's not that good.
Yeah.
Although it is kind of neat because they involve the Predalien, which is pretty cool.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like after watching a movie like Prey, mm-hmm. I'm like, man, see, that was really well done.
Yeah.
That was a great time. And so going back into the more like mid-2000s goofy style of like, I don't know, Alien vs. Predator always felt kind of like Freddy vs. Jason status where they're like, we're going to pit the two against each other. I don't know. It was just kind of goofy.
I definitely say give the first one a rewatch. It's okay. PG-13.
AVP.
Yep. It's pretty fun, though. It has some decent moments. Mm. And it's Neil Blomkamp, not David Blomkamp. I just
wanna, who's David Blomkamp?
I have no idea.
I think that's a person.
But for anyone who was going to say anything, boom, fixed. Oh, yeah. And so this is going to be directed by Fede Alvarez. You might know that name from the movie he directed Don't Breathe. And then he also directed the Evil Dead reboot. Well, I don't know if it's really a reboot. It was another one in the series that came out in 2013.
Right.
Did you see that one?
No.
It was really good.
Really? Is that the one with the girl who like cuts her tongue or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember I was like, I'm not watching that.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's around the time where I was like, I get it, but I'm just not into that. It sounds like it was all part of the, like, it made sense in the story and everything. It wasn't gratuitous, but it's just not my jam.
It felt like this is the movie that Sam Raimi wanted to make when he originally released The Evil Dead, like a very serious horror movie.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love the first Evil Dead and love the whole series itself. But this one definitely like brought in that gore factor of the modern day and like the over the top just craziness that I thought was fantastic. And Jane Levy, the main character, was fantastic in it. There's a great scene where she has to rip her arm out from underneath a car and then she shoves a chainsaw through a demon's face and there's blood raining down and it explodes out of the demon's face. Mm. That sounds like fun, right?
Mm-hmm. So fun.
And so I'm excited to see what the director does with this series. I hope it's kind of brought back to where it needs to be. Because here's a tangent. Another one off the bat. So I was just looking at the box for Halloween 3 the other day, just thinking about like, why shouldn't this movie get a remake? And for a split second, I was trying to think of like a cast and how it would be done, how mm-hmm. to make it better for the modern day. But then I was just like, why does this need to be remade?
Right.
Like I have this perfectly great movie here. Like, yeah, it'd be cool to see it again, but why not just watch it? And I put on the RoboCop remake last week because I was bored. I think it was like 2 a.m. I just wanted someone to watch. And I was like, it's not the worst movie, but it just has nothing on the original.
There's no charm to it at all.
Yeah. I was like, this is just kind of dull. They're trying to like give more character to Murphy that I just didn't really want. I just wanted to see a robot cop blow some dicks off. That's all. And like the first movie was very satirical and the remake did not capture any of that. Mm-hmm. And that just kept me going down this hole of, oh man, maybe, yeah, I don't want remakes anymore.
Yeah. Like there are, I feel like there's a time and a place, but generally I've realized I like remakes when it's based on source material.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, let's go back to like a book that was made into a movie. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I never watched this, but like Planet Earth or Earth's Final Conflict or whatever. What's the fuck that movie called? It doesn't matter.
Planet of the Apes?
No, there was a movie with John Travolta.
Battlefield Earth?
Yeah, Battlefield Earth.
Yeah,
that was like really horrible, right?
Yeah, by that cult leader or whatever.
Yeah. This is a bad example. So, you know. but like going back to the book and making the movie, a new movie based on that instead of going back and remaking a movie. I don't know. I feel like usually that's kind of, I don't know. I totally lost what I was saying.
That's all right.
And I disagree now.
And one of my things that I've been liking during, I guess, this time period in our lives with movies is directors and stories that are being written. They're not discounting the original or like some of the better ones. They're building off of that. It's just like with Halloween and then with this Alien, it like the sequel, this movie, this might be like a continuation from Aliens and it won't include Alien 3 or Alien Resurrection.
Right. It's more like expanding the universe of these titles, and which again, I don't always want, but that's okay. And then you just don't
watch it.
Exactly. We talked about this a little last time.
Yeah, I do prefer that over a full redo, basically, though.
Agreed. I don't know why my mind just went on that tangent thinking about Halloween 3, because I would like to see it remade, but I don't think it would be very good.
Yeah.
And then I'd just be let down. I don't know.
Yeah, true. Watch the old one.
Exactly. It's so wonderful and such a downer and very charming. Well, some final news on my part. The Walking Dead finally ended the series finale, although there are still like the spinoff series going on. Daryl's going to be going to France, apparently, and fighting zombies that run. And then there's going to be a spinoff with Maggie and Negan. I'm just kind of all over it. But hey, the show that started 11 years ago, 12 years ago, is now
finally should have ended like 10 years ago.
Yeah. I'll still never understand how those zombies always manage to sneak up on everybody.
Also, Jack, I just was like, who fully cares? Is anyone watching still?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there are all these spinoffs going on.
True. Which I, again, teach their own. Hey, if you're into it, I'm just so over it.
Me too.
I was so into it for the first handful of seasons.
I like zombies, but I'm just over like these people doing the exact same thing that they do every season.
Well, yeah, it's just clearly, in my opinion, clearly just stretching it as far as they possibly can. Like, uh-huh. It's about making money. It always is. I mean, it's a business. But like, originally it was like based on the comics and the story was really interesting. And then at some point it was just started getting pretty ridiculous. Like, now we found this new community and they're, you know, they use technology. And it was just like, what? Just end it. There needs mm-hmm. to be a story arc.
Oh, also I learned that the 3 movies of like the Rick solo movies have now been canceled.
Oh, thank God.
But they're making a limited series about Rick and Michonne. So there's another spinoff there.
Well, how was that? Okay.
I don't know, man. One of them is at least ended. And now the other ones.
It's like cut off one head and two grow in its place.
You know? The Hydra
of
its time.
Sure. You know, if there's a market for it, let them go wild.
Yeah.
I'm over here. Like, they're making another, you know, spinoff of Superman, whatever. It's like,
it's just different things in the same boat.
Exactly, yeah.
Or different boats about different topics.
Yeah.
We're all just one in that.
Different boats on the same river. Different rivers, same boat.
Let me tell you this real quick, Jeff. I ended up watching the movie VHS 99, which is the newest in the series. It's a Shudder exclusive. Yeah. Guess what? It's not very good.
Oh, no way.
No,
I know. It's not good?
It is not. It's like, it's bad. I did not have a good time watching this movie.
Just came out, right?
Yes.
I remember people were excited about it when it got announced.
I was, because I loved the first one. There was the one with like the vampire or the lady whose face split open and she ate people.
Oh.
There was the one about like the haunted house. In the second one, there was like the zombie one. There was the alien one. There was the one where the dude had like a robot eye and he saw ghosts and shit.
Mm.
And like, I think the first two were very solid. They were very enjoyable. And also to connect this to today's topic, the director of the movie we'll be talking about today, X, did one of the segments in VHS 1. So that's pretty fun. But with those earlier movies, they were all connected by one kind of main story, I guess.
Okay.
The first one had to do with people breaking into a house. And they found the videotapes and they would watch the videotapes. But then in between the segments, things would start to happen to them. And it was kind of like, oh, what's going on?
Kind of reminds me of what is that? What we're watching where it's the guy. Fuck my brain. The guy. There's like the different. There's the guy going into the chamber. There's the 3 different stories. There's the one about the Poseidon. Like kid with the green eyes.
Oh, Necronomicon. Yeah.
Necronomicon.
Essentially it was sort of like that, but with VHS tapes.
Right.
The first and the second was like that.
Okay.
The third one wasn't very good. It was called VHS Viral and it was internet stuff.
Right.
I don't
Scream or whatever.
Don't like that. That one. Yeah. I was like, this one is garbage. And then there was, I think 94 came out maybe last year. And that was okay. I don't remember if there was anything really tying all of the stories kind of together. But this one, there was nothing tying it together. The characters were so annoying. In the very first segment, it's just like about these awful kids that I almost shut it off in that first segment. But I was like, you know what? I got my free trial of Shudder right now. I'm going to watch this.
Gonna make some use.
Yep. by the end of it, I was like, well, this was not very good.
Yeah.
So if anyone has the opportunity to see VHS 99, I do not recommend it.
Oof.
That's a no recommend from Hurwitz's House of Horror. Well, like I said, we did not have a lot in the Horror Hour today, although it did cover about 25 minutes. We did fuck around
for like 30 minutes.
Yeah. But for this week's episode, we are taking a listener request this time. Actually, two listener requests. Friend of the show, second time mention, Aaron, and friend of the show, Audrey, have both requested us to cover the movie X. And we've been kind of putting it off a little bit because we had Hurwitz's Horrortober planned out. And I've been kind of wanting to give you a little bit of space in between some of those more grisly movies and this one, because I will say X, and I'm sure as you've seen from the trailers, does look a little bit more of a
grisly,
bit of a downer, kind of grimy movie.
Yeah, it falls into the category of like modern horror, where yes. I'm always a little bit like, okay, the gore is much more realistic. It's a whole different vibe than like someone's paper mache head being crushed or whatever.
Which is pretty fun to watch too. We had Phantasm lined up, but we decided to push that back. And I think now was the perfect time for X.
Yeah.
And well, that's the movie that we ended up watching this week for everyone. So yeah, from this year, 2022, the year of our Lord, we watched the movie X, directed by Ty West.
Farmer's daughter, take one. I need to be famous, Wayne. All the best people are.
There ain't nobody else out there like you.
You know why?
Why?
Because you got that X factor.
Our days of struggling may soon be over.
Hollywood, here we come.
This is it. Our own studio backlot.
This movie has a small but banging cast here. We have Mia Goth as Maxine and Pearl. We have Jenna Ortega playing Lorraine, who also, this is my first time seeing her. I didn't realize she was in the newest Scream movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she will be in the next one as well. We have Brittany Snow playing Bobby Lynn. We have Kid Cudi as Jackson. We have a personal favorite of yours, Martin Henderson as Wayne.
Dr. Nathan Riggs? What are you doing here? Are you supposed to be operating with Meredith Grey? and you have a different accent and everything. I'm pretty sure you're from New Zealand, not Texas. Okay, that's weird.
And finally, we have Owen Campbell as RJ.
I think the only guy in the main cast that I don't recognize.
I actually didn't recognize Martin Henderson either until you said good old Grey's Anatomy there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff, let's begin this as we always do. Let's have a quick Jeff summary of the movie.
All right. This movie is about a group of young kids, similar to the Scooby Gang, rolling around in a van. And just like the Scooby Gang, they're headed down to an old farmhouse to record a porno. They are renting a small house off the side of a barn from an extremely old couple. And they start making their porno there, and then horror ensues. And these old people are extra old, extra creepy, extra crispy, extra horny. Huh? You'll see.
As always, Jeff, that is a spot on, brilliant summary of this movie.
That was just, I was reading it off of the box.
Off of the box, the VHS of it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's jump into this movie.
First thing I want to mention was the name of the movie.
Yes.
Which I didn't fully get watching the trailer. I figured it was like, you know, rated X, basically. And that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also realizing the whole theme of like the X factor, people being like a star and everything. And I like how they had that. It's like the juxtaposition of like the X factor and the X rating of a porn movie and like
all of it.
You know? Yeah. That's cool.
Very cool.
That's all.
So our movie begins with a shot that I really liked. It's a full screen aspect shot that it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the shot is being taken from inside of the barn.
Right. It's like the barn doors.
Yeah. Cutting off. So it's just, you know, the right in the middle of the screen.
Yeah. It looks kind of like a full screen TV show or movie or whatever.
Of a movie from the 70s, 80s. All
right.
That. And we have some cops arriving on the scene and it just looks like there's been a massacre.
Yeah, whenever you see those old 60s cop cars rolling up, I always feel like it's like shit's about to go down.
Or something.
It's like True Detective or like some crazy shit happening in the South.
One of the cops gets out of the car and looks at a body that's underneath a blanket, looks messed up, goes inside of the house. There's blood on the stairs. There's a body right next to the door. And one of the cops comes up and says, we got to go check out the basement. And they go downstairs and it kind of zooms in on their faces that they're like, what the fuck? And I think that's when we get our title screen, X. Mm-hmm. Now, it's 24 hours earlier. We are introduced to our main character, or all of our main characters, actually. We meet Maxine, her partner Wayne, Bobby Lynn, Jackson, and two filmmakers, RJ and Lorraine. This movie also takes place in the year of 1979, I believe, right?
It sounds about right.
Perfect. We have all of our main characters driving to a farmhouse that they have rented out to film a porno called The Farmer's Daughter. Our main character, Maxine, wants to be a big time star, and her partner, Wayne, is the director of this movie. And he wants to make this better than a porno. He wants to make this like art meets porn to become the next big thing.
Mm-hmm. It also seems like, from what I could gather, he's maybe the owner of like a strip club or something.
I think
so. And that's where they're kind of like from.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to make you guys stars. We're going to make a movie. And with the advent of like home entertainment, because like VHS wasn't a thing yet. And they're mm-hmm. like, that's starting to be a thing. And people are going to want to watch porn in their houses.
Exactly.
And, I mean, he's right.
Yeah. If only he knew about the internet.
Yeah.
Goddamn. So our characters stop off at a gas station and pick up a few supplies. And we have RJ and Lorraine do a little bit of camera work, get some shots for this movie, and they begin their way to that farmhouse. Once they get there, they meet the homeowner. His name is Howard. And there's a bit of an interaction that Wayne has with him where Howard just points a shotgun at him, bit of a unfriendly greeting, although we learned that the shotgun's not loaded.
He's Howard, like, you from the government?
He thinks that they're there to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne's just like, whoa, no. We're the ones renting out the house. We don't want any trouble. So Howard takes him to the house and they start to set everything up. Although Howard was not expecting Wayne to have brought everybody that he had with mm-hmm. him.
Bunch of pretty ladies.
Exactly. So while they're bringing their things to the farmhouse, the little cabin that they rented, Maxine notices someone watching her from one of the windows. And we'll start to learn a little bit later about this woman. So as soon as they get there and unpack, they pretty much jump straight into starting this movie. RJ, Lorraine, Bobby Lynn, and Jackson end up filming some scenes, and Maxine goes off exploring. She ends up finding a dock, and Maxine goes for a little swim in the lake.
A little skinny dip.
Yeah.
While this old figure watches from the woods.
We also see a shot of an alligator hanging out in this lake.
Mm-hmm. This leads into probably my favorite scene in the movie.
I think mine too.
Yeah.
We have a shot from above and we see Maxine just lying there and she begins to swim back to the dock after mm-hmm. going out to the middle of the lake. And as she's swimming back, we start to see the alligator come from off camera and start to follow her as it gets closer and closer.
Yeah, and she doesn't see it because her back's to the alligator and she's just casually swimming towards the dock and you see the alligator just slowly swimming towards her, but just gaining at the slow. It was just like a slow motion chase.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like this slight, like the music is just intensifying more and more and more. That was probably the tensest shot in the entire movie.
Agreed. And there's a part two where she gets to the dock and then she doesn't pull herself up fully. She just hangs out there and you see it getting closer and closer too, but she manages to get out right before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm assuming the alligator just goes underwater because she had no reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's freaky ass.
That was, even before then, clearly I was like, I really like the style of the movie. Like the title in the beginning that says 1979 was done really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way it shot already, I was like, all right, I'm at least going to like that. If I don't like the movie, I'm going to like the way it looks and the way it's shot. And that's a good sign for like storytelling and stuff. And like, during this part, I was like, all right, now I'm even more convinced that this is going to be entertaining.
Yeah, I was very worried, honestly, about watching this movie with you
mm-hmm.
because as we learn, there are some pretty intense things that happen. There are some grisly deaths, but I think this movie captures some of what the older horror movies were, where it was a lot of story or a lot of things happening. And then when the horror and the death happened, it was just like, boom, it was very much in your face. Mm-hmm. And it was at times a lot, but it wasn't just you're sitting watching someone slowly get their legs sawed off or something like that.
Yeah. It wasn't as much like torture porn.
Yes.
You know, it was more story based. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like you said, we'll get into it, but this movie is very gory towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to the classic horror movies where right. everything happens within the last 20 minutes, the last mm-hmm. 10 minutes, the last 5 minutes.
And if it were up to me,
mm-hmm.
this movie would be even better if it were just a different genre, basically, really, because, you know, the whole point of this whole podcast is that I'm not a horror fan.
Yep.
So like watching the beginning of this movie, I was getting a lot of like season one of True Detective vibes, and like
I can definitely see that.
I was like, that's the direction I would probably this movie would be high up on my list. Like I thought it was really well made, but then it's like, and the horror shit that I'm not really into, so it's kind of like boop 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 boop, you know, drops down some points. But if it was just like some subtle kills and more about the like tension and the whodunit and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. but
which I feel like
and it did have a lot of tension in there too. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I still really liked it. But
well, speaking of tension, we're gonna go back to Maxine. She's mm-hmm. gotten out of the lake safely, no alligator attacks. As she's heading back to the little cabin that they're staying in, she notices the old woman, the one who was watching her from the window, the one mm-hmm. who was creepily watching her from afar as she was on the dock. And this old woman beckons towards her. She
standing on the porch of the house,
mm-hmm.
just moves her little tiny hand. Come and hither.
We learn that this woman's name is Pearl. She is the wife of Howard. And after she beckons Maxine to go in, she turns around, goes in the house. And you turned and looked at me and you said, would you go in? Mm-hmm. Would you follow her? And, you know, you made me think, honestly, I probably would. It's an old lady. Maybe she's had something horrible happen to her. She needs help with something.
Yeah. Even just like, hey, I need something. Like in the real world, if a little old lady was just like, can you come over here?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason you'd be like, oh God, no fucking, you know, it's like, oh, maybe she just needs help getting some off a shelf.
Exactly.
But there was something. It felt sinister.
Of course.
So it's kind of like, it's always interesting to me, like what people think they would do in these moments and what they would actually do. And when I asked you, you did bring up.
Yes. So
a moment from when you were on the East Coast that I really liked that shows kind of when people are like, that's so dumb that they're doing that. I would never do that versus how people actually act in the real world.
Yes. So when I was on the East Coast, I was out walking my dog around, Molly, adorable dog lover. And I had this kind of shitty flashlight and I heard these things moving in the bushes. And instead of like being no thank you, I ended up getting closer and being like, is there anyone there? Is there something there?
Yes.
And I started like putting the flashlight around and getting closer to try and see and moving some of the brush aside.
You're fully just in a horror movie.
I was. And as I was pushing some of the things aside and I heard more rustling, I said to myself, this is how you die.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why am I doing this? Right now?
This is my death scene.
I've seen this so many times in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I decided to back up with the light in front of me and not investigate further. I'm sure it was just an animal.
Right.
But even then,
hello,
it could have been a demon animal.
Is anyone here?
Yeah. And that was all that was going through my head.
Could have been a super old lady killer. You don't know.
Or a werewolf.
Or
there was
werewolf.
A full moon the night after.
There you go.
So I guess it would have just been a regular man. Well, thankfully, I did not die while I was in Massachusetts. And yeah, it was just funny thinking how I've seen so many horror movies, but yet all of that left my head because I don't want to say I'm a realist, but I don't think a werewolf's going to come out and get me until it does.
Right.
And at that point, it's too late to learn a lesson.
That's the lesson right there is neither do the people in these movies.
Exactly.
They're not like, it's going to be a werewolf. It's like, there's a dog in here. Hello, is there a dog here? And then it's a werewolf and then mm-hmm. they get eaten. So they're not stupid. They're realists.
Or it's an alien.
Or it's an alien. It's a little gray man with
big
eyes. I
get abducted like an incident at Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
Just none of these things entered my head.
Or Rain of Fire.
With the dragons.
The dragons. Christian Bale shows up.
I was trying to blow fire out of my mouth like a dragon.
But you're a realist.
And so I cannot blow fire out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I am not Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
That's right. And speaking of blowing things with your mouth, Pearl beckons
Mortal Kombat.
This young girl towards the house.
Test your might.
That's not Mortal Kombat. That?
Yes. Pearl beckons. Oh, well, let me ask you this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You said in a
would
normal
I have
situation.
Sex with Pearl? I mean, if I was single, no, in a word. Well, sorry, what was your question?
Well, you answered my first question. My second question was, you said that in this situation, there was a sinister tone to when Pearl was beckoning Maxine over. Do you think that sinister tone was only there because
of sinister music?
The music, and that you know that this is a horror movie.
Probably.
Where things are going to happen. So, like,
yeah.
Again, in the real world, if you saw an old woman beckon to you, you would probably go and help her.
Okay, so
up.
here's my maybe more fucked up answer to that.
Okay.
I don't know if I would, and it's not because of the sinisterness. It's because I'd be worried about the situation being socially awkward.
Uh-huh. You just
she would kind of like,
get
come over here. And I'd be like, nice to meet you too. And I would just turn around and go in the house because I'm like, I don't want to be in a whole conversation with this landlord. And she's like, oh, you guys are renting the back house. That's cool. What are you guys doing? And I'm like, shooting a porno. I'm like, you know, I'll just, hi, I hope you have a nice day too. And just pretend I don't realize that she's beckoning me and then just go straight in the house and shut the door.
Yeah, I would probably do that too. Mostly because, as you know, I don't like talking to people.
Exactly. Perfect.
And I am very boring when it comes to having conversation. We're like, huh? So the weather, huh? Cold.
Heck, old people like to talk though.
And that's the thing with me too. I feel rude trying to interrupt someone in a conversation that I don't like being in.
Yeah.
And I will just let them talk for so long.
And when an old lady's like, I used to be beautiful, and she's slowly caressing the side of your mostly naked body.
Yes.
You know, not the most fun situation to be in.
I will always just wait for them to stop talking and then I'll be like, no, thank you.
No, thanks. No, thank you for the lemonade.
Which, yeah, Pearl goes in and Maxine follows and she offers her some lemonade, going back on topic now.
Yep. Actually, hold on.
Yes.
We can't stay on topic for too long. I have a whole other story I have to tell.
Tangent, here we come.
So there was a moment where an old woman did invite me and my friends into her house.
Mm-hmm.
And we did go in. So I'm a huge, huge fat liar. She invited me and my friends in. We were like 14, 13. And she gave us brownies and milk. Did not know this woman.
Okay.
The reason she invited us in is because we had egged someone's house. I know. I was an immature child. And some of the eggs had ricocheted and hit her house. So we were over there cleaning her house for her as like a punishment. She invited us in for brownies. It was just the kids there and this old woman.
How did she know you were the one that egged the house?
Because we came clean to the guy who, like, it was our friend, which is like, why do you egg your friend's house? That's fucked up.
That's rude.
Because we didn't realize how damaging eggs actually were. It was like, ah, it's like water balloon fight or like TPing someone's house. And it's like, no, you're causing damage. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh.
Oops.
So we went to go be like, sorry, we'll clean your house for you. And then the old couple came out and they're like, you hit eggs on our house too. And we're like, oh, sorry, we'll clean your house. And then all the parents left and it was just the kids cleaning this old lady's house. And then she was like, come inside and beckoned us from a distance, you know, on her barn patio. And we're like, okay. And then went in and she was like, eat some brownies and drink some milk. And then you could hear the music go, and we all started looking at each other, and she held our hands and made everyone hold hands in a circle, and then she prayed for us and said that the devil had had steered us away from God, and that, you know, she prayed to God to put us on back on the right path.
Uh-huh.
And we ran home.
Were there any pentagrams anywhere?
We couldn't even tell. Out there in a blur and in a flash.
Wow.
So anyway. So I was wrong. I would go inside and I'd probably be dead if that lady was, you know, Pearl.
My first thought was like, what if she had poisoned the brownies and the milk? Just
exactly
like you'd egged her house accidentally. And she's like, well,
as she's praying, she's like,
and
okay,
now
you
will pay. You
can take them now that they've paid the price. And then we all just fall asleep at the table and we're in season 4 of True Detective.
Wow. All right. Hypocrite over here.
Anyway, so back on task, I said, Steve.
My bad. Sorry, man.
So lemonade.
Yeah. Pearl serves her lemonade. And I liked that this was intertwined with the scene that RJ and the rest of the group were filming
at
the
too.
Farmhouse. because as they were making this porno, there's a scene where Jackson, his car is broken down and, you know, he's come across this farm. He runs into the farmer's daughter, hence the name of the title. Mm-hmm. And she's offering him lemonade. And this is going back and forth between the porno that they're filming and then Maxine and Pearl having the lemonade too.
Right. So there's all these like innuendos of like, oh, my daddy's not home yet, so why don't you come inside and like wink, wink. And then it would show Maxine and Pearl and they're like mirroring stuff. And so it makes it even more unsettling because it's like you have the innuendo in your mind and then it cuts over to like this super old woman bringing this young girl inside. And it's like, I'm just like uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. Yeah.
That's most of this movie. I'm just sitting like tight and uncomfortable,
which is the point of it. And I loved it. I like that unsettling feeling that a movie can give me. Mm. I like those tense moments and I like feeling unsure of what's going to happen.
Right.
So Maxine chugs that lemonade and she's like, all right, well, I'm going to go.
That was funny. She's just like, gulp, 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 gulp. Okay, time to go. Thanks for lemonade. Bye.
As she's leaving, we get a little bit of background on Pearl. We see old pictures of her. When she was younger, she's with maybe a younger version of Howard.
I believe so. Yeah. She talks about how he's in the war or something. And
how he would do anything for her back in the day. Yeah. And she was the prettiest. And how she used to be an actress, was it?
A dancer.
Dancer. Yes. That would make a lot of sense, actually, leading to a scene.
At this moment, I was like, is this like a supernatural element where she's talking to herself in the past? Mm-hmm. Because as we know, it's played by the same actor.
Yes.
And in the photos of her a bit young, it was Maxine, essentially. Like, they just looked a lot alike is what it comes down to. But I was like, oh, is this going to be a thing where she's like, I used to be a dancer, a.k.a. stripper. Uh-huh. I used to, you know, this and that. And like, there's going to be some weird element, but I was overcomplicating it. And she's just a creepy old lady who's sad that she's old now.
Absolutely. She tells Maxine, you know, I used to be like you. Look in the mirror. Look at that face. And as Maxine's looking at herself, Pearl like rubs her a little bit.
Yeah, she stretches out her incredibly wrinkly finger and just, yeah, a little caressed on the side of her. Because she's wearing like overalls with nothing underneath.
Pretty much that's
so
it.
She's just like creepily touching her. Yeah. Ugh. Ugh.
And well, right as that happens, Howard returns and Pearl tells her, go out the side. This will be our little secret.
Yeah. And Maxine's like, what? Like a little secret? What's that? Like, it's like a weird, like we're having a little affair kind of. It's like, ew.
And at that point, Maxine's pretty freaked out. So she sneaks out the side and then she just books ass back to the little cabin. And there was a jump scare that got you. I jumped. Went, ah! Yeah.
Where
Wayne comes out of nowhere. He's like, hey, where'd you go? I was looking all over for you.
Classic Texan accent.
Hey,
I'm walking here.
I'm Wayne over here. Is that better? Can you give me a Texas accent?
Let me just channel it really quick. Hello. Hello, governor.
Well.
Is that it?
Close.
Hey, Maxine. Get your tushy over here.
That's better. I think that's the best of all of the accents so far.
Sounds kind of like a guy from Texas.
Pretty much.
But he like grabs her. He does a lot of that in this movie. And like, guy, what are you doing? Like, this was the most natural, but there's other times where he like slowly reaches out of the shadows.
Oh, yeah. That like, was.
What do you mean so creepy? Like, yeah, it scares me, but you're also just being creepy. Anyway.
He is like a 42-year-old hanging out with a bunch of these younger people.
True.
Specifically say that he's 42 and he left his wife for Maxine.
Oh, right. Yikes. Yeah.
Well, they get back together and then everyone goes and films a scene in the barn of Maxine and Jackson doing it. And we have a camera which is representing Pearl sneaking around the back of the barn and just peeking on in, creepily looking in. At this time, too, Lorraine is the sound recorder. So she's holding a boom mic. And earlier on, everyone's kind of calling her church mouse. And she's essentially
shy, quiet.
Very shy, quiet. Yeah.
Oh, and she's like, RJ, you didn't tell me it was this type of movie we were making. I thought I was just helping you make a movie or something like that. It was like, well, it's a porno. Don't be a prude.
Yeah, I think he says, when did you become such a prude?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is funny because that comes into play a little later on.
Yeah. Ends up eating crow a little bit there.
So, yeah, Lorraine seems to be getting more and more into this, too. Or she's more accepting and seems to just be embracing the moment. Pearl ends up going back inside of the house. And there's a conversation between her and Howard. She's wearing like a dress and she's sort of coming on to Howard. And Howard says, you know, I can't. My heart, I'll have a heart attack, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit of a sad moment.
Hmm. Okay.
You don't see that?
No.
She's just someone who wants some love, and unfortunately,
I
because
do
of
feel
their age,
for her.
Yeah. There are moments where I understand bits, but then they go to extremes.
Yeah. I would feel worse for her if she wasn't like being such a creepy, you know,
this person,
like predator about it.
Yeah.
Like caressing people without, you know,
literally predator as well when it comes to some murders that happen.
That's right. It's like one step away from being Michael Myers. If you just threw on that, I'd be like, it's Michael's grandma.
There were some shots too of Pearl walking around, and it was the seeing through her eyes, and you made that noise a few times.
You're
you're like, right, get it? It's like, yes,
you're
Jeff,
like, yes,
I get
it. Fucking get it. Okay. Remember that movie we watched?
Yes, I remember every movie.
Yeah, so she's like, take me now. And he's like, I would, but I'm very old and my heart will explode. And my penis doesn't work.
That's quote for quote.
Yeah, and I was like, oh.
Line for line.
So sad.
Yeah, no one likes an exploding penis.
Yeah, well.
Ayo.
Pearl does.
Ay.
This movie should be called The Exceptionally Horny Grandma.
That's not a bad alternate title.
Exceptionally Horny.
Actually,
maybe that's what it stands for.
I think that is the title in Germany.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know how different movies have different titles, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales was called Pirates of the Caribbean, Salazar's Revenge,
right,
in another place.
And this one's called Exceptionally Horny Grandma.
Exploding Penises?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why I know that fact about Pirates of the Caribbean also.
Like you said, you've seen and know every movie.
It's true. Oh, and Shape of Water is called Chick Fucks a Fish, so...
they like to
Britain.
Just get right down to the point.
Yeah. It's like, oh, now I don't need to see this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it did win a lot of awards, and I've never seen that one.
And The Little Mermaid is called Le Petite Fish Girl. Red hair, underwater. Finds a man. Falls in love. Gets some legs. Loses legs.
And I believe that is the Russian title, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not the French one.
No. It's just called The Little Mermaid in France.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So that night, the group all get together and they have, I think, is a nice kind of bonding moment where they're talking about how they're just young and this is what they do and it's fun.
Yeah, because Church Mouse, I forget her real name.
Lorraine.
Isn't she kind of like...
She asked, like,
she's
what
like,
is
how
the
do
difference?
You guys do this? Because
yeah,
she had sex with him and you guys are together. Isn't that weird for you watching her like have sex with another guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no. It's on camera. It's business.
Exactly.
That's the rule. If it's on camera, it's all good. And I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. And it's all perspective there. If you can categorize or compartmentalize things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. And then this leads into a fun little song where Brittany Snow sings. Mm-hmm. Or what's her character's name? Bobby Lynn sings. And
Landslide, right?
It's a landslide down the hill. Times get older.
So does Pearl, and she wants to go down on you.
And then this leads into Lorraine telling the group, hey, if we're making like a piece of art, I want to be a part of it. I don't want to miss out on this opportunity.
She's like, what am I, just holding the fucking microphone?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are all artists. I want to be an artist. And then her boyfriend's like,
No.
She's like, well, why not? You're the one that was like, we're making art and got me, you know, tried to convince me this is all cool.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically a little bit like, so you're a fucking hypocrite.
Yes.
And you're only saying that because you wanted to make a movie and I wasn't comfortable with it. And now that I'm involved, you're going back on your word. I was like, whoa.
Yes.
Well done.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo.
I'm like, totally.
Yeah.
Woo. That's on you, buddy.
Woo.
And she's like, well, why not? And he's like, because no.
Yeah.
And then like flips out. And
then this is when Lorraine throws back that line. When did you become such a prude?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. And then he doesn't like that. And he cries in the shower.
He does. Yeah.
Well, you know,
he tries to talk Wayne into talking Lorraine out of it. And Wayne's like, hey,
he's like, guy, she's going to do what she wants to do. You can't tell her what to do.
It's just business.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she goes to film the scene. And then that night. RJ.
Then he cries in the shower. That's right.
Cry. He has a big old sob.
Yeah. After he films his girlfriend having sex with another man, which, you know, I get.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be into that. Just don't make a case for it early on.
And then
be a hypocrite. And then he gets real sad and he decides to abandon everyone like a coward.
Just like, fuck him. Fuck everybody.
He's like, find your own way home. I'm and grabs the keys and he's going to take the van.
So right before this part happened, we took a little bit of a pause in the movie because there's a big old fat glare in the TV and we hung up something to block out the light coming in. And I asked, I was like, how are you feeling about this movie so far? And I was surprised by your answer. You're like, yeah, this is surprisingly, I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's convenient that I asked you then because that was leading up to pretty much. Yeah. Like that was exactly the turning point.
I'm like, man, I'm surprised. Great suspense. The pacing is good. I'm intrigued by the story. Cinematography is beautiful.
And again, really there's that well-made sense of foreboding and just tension and uneasiness.
Little did I know that we were mere minutes away from someone getting their neck garbled about with a fucking butter knife.
So RJ starts up the van and he's about to drive away. He gets like 2 feet and then Pearl's standing right there. He gets out of the car and he's like, hey, are you okay? Do you need help? And she gets all close to him. And do they kiss? She
kisses his neck.
Ah. And he's like, I don't want this.
Yeah. And he gets all tense. And that was very uncomfortable.
It was super uncomfortable.
And then he's just like, why'd you do that? And she's like, let me show you what I can do or something like that.
He's like, no.
He's like, no, I don't want to. And she's like, why won't you look at me? He's like, I don't want to see that.
It's very harsh.
And then
the big turning
point.
Comes
the neck.
There's a big old neck stab, which I have in my notes. You had an actual reaction. You're like, oh.
Yeah, because they're just talking. She's like, I'm a little old creepy lady. And then she goes, boom, straight in the neck. I was like, whoa, okay, here it is. I was kind of waiting for it, but I didn't know what was going to happen right there.
We have kill number one right there.
Good old RJ, a.k.a. Shaggy. And then she just goes to town on that neck, man.
Yeah,
he see, that's falls where to the ground. This is here's a good side by side, right? In the genre that I would lean towards.
Mm-hmm.
Neck shot, totally still in that movie.
Yes.
Where it totally just veers into horror is when she doesn't stop and it just shows her like
continuously
grunting and smiling and just like. And I was like, okay, yeah.
I forgot that it went on that long too.
Yeah, it was a while. It was just kind of like enough time for me to kind of like look over at you.
And I look at you.
It's like, okay. But what I did like that you mentioned.
Yes.
Was the blood splattering on the headlights of the van, which kind of tinted the light like you would with like a gel. All the light turned red and she kind of notices and starts doing a little dance.
Little Joker dance.
Very much a Joker dance, as you pointed out while you're watching.
I didn't realize it till this time. I was like, huh.
I was like, which movie came first? Because it looks like the dance.
Kind of.
I was like, huh.
But at least it made sense.
It's like
in
the
this
red
context.
Light, you know what I mean? Like, Roxanne, you got your foot on that red light. They should have played that during that scene.
That'd be great.
And it's very much like, I'm in the spotlight, and it's very creepy because she's dancing in this like blood red light. And I was like, see, that's rad. Don't love that they had to like mush up a neck to get to that point, but you know, what are you gonna do?
But I feel like because that was the first kill, that had to be just like extra. The most just intense in your face kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, this is a horror movie, don't forget. And this is crazy.
Right. See, actually, you know what? Let me go back on what I just said.
Okay.
Let her mess up the neck.
Yes.
You know, the difference is showing it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because so, if it just showed her.
Like the camera's looking up at
stabbing,
her.
Stabbing. Yeah. And it's just her stabbing in the red light and even the blood coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's still horror, but that's just still. More the vibe that I'm into. And then when it goes around and shows his neck, like coming apart, that's where I'm like, I don't love that.
I forgot about, you know, like,
not into
yeah,
that. I don't need to see that.
Intense.
Yeah. Because I get the same intensity with or without showing it. But when you show it, it's like, and well, that's gross.
Yeah.
You know, but then he's dead now.
She
does her little dance.
She grabs the keys and she disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine wakes up. RJ isn't there. She goes out to the front door and kind of looks around. And this is that weird part where Wayne also wakes up. But there's like that slow hand that comes out.
Yeah, just like out of the shadows behind her and grabs her on the shoulder. And she's like, oh, and he's like, whoa, what? It's like, what do you mean? What?
You just slowly, creepily just put your hand on my shoulder.
Yeah, like,
instead of being
be
like, are you OK?
Yeah, like, hey, what's going
up,
on?
Wayne?
Yeah. See, we both know.
We do.
Like, hey, it's like 4 a.m. What's going on? Are you OK? Instead of it's like, whoa, what the fuck? He's like, whoa, you're. Upset
a little
about
high
something
strung over here.
It's like, okay.
So she's like, RJ is gone. I can't find him. Maybe he left, but they see the van in the distance. So they start to go searching for him. She goes up to the house,
mm-hmm.
and Wayne goes to the barn
in his little tidy whities. And like,
I was going to mention that,
a surprisingly like ripped dude.
Yeah.
Cause especially seeing him in this other show, I'm like, what? You're like Lou Ferrigno. And he's like, I'm just going to go in my little tidy whities. And I think a cowboy hat, or is that in my,
no, that was in my imagination. I wish that because before he left, he leans back to grab something. And I thought it was going to be the cowboy hat, but I think it was just a flashlight that he grabbed.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
I wish to God it had been his head. He's like, all right, well, tidy whitey is my flash or my and my cowboy hat.
Tidy whitey's on my flashlight. That seems to be a theme in this movie, too, is people not getting dressed to go wander around outside.
I mean, it was the 70s. It's like, late 70s.
Are you fucking cold? Well, I guess not. Maybe it's like Texas. It's Texas. But it's like, put on a pair of shoes.
I would have at least. Yeah.
As, you know. Might have helped you mm-hmm. in the upcoming
oh,
scene.
Huh. Well,
put on a pair of boots, leather boots.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt, maybe.
I mean, if you looked like the way he did.
He's like, oh, you can see my pecs glistening in the moonlight. Let's go find your boy.
I'm just saying, if I looked like that, I would totally do that.
Yeah. He's like, oops, did I forget my shirt again?
Although, did you know that having a six pack is actually bad for you?
It is.
Because you're supposed to have like a natural layer of fat on you.
Oh, right. That's like when they, I remember reading an article about the way that actors, especially nowadays, mm-hmm. when they do like superhero scenes, like Henry Cavill in Man of Steel, he had mm-hmm. to not starve, dehydrate for
yes.
3 days, where it's like you drink less and less water until the last day you don't drink any water so that the skin gets so thin that it lays on your muscle.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. I read something that, I don't remember who the actor was. It might have been Hubert Jackman for a Wolverine scene, but that he ended sense. Up just getting super plastered the night before because it dehydrates you.
Oh,
and then he
yikes.
Was just like shit face, but he filmed like a shirtless scene and he just like barely remembers filming it.
And there's a whole thing too. That's funny. And there's the thing you get like veinier too. It's like, ew. See, that's.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So all I'm saying is that you and me.
We're healthier than that guy. Probably.
We're killing it.
Yeah. It's just a scene of us going out there. Hey, I'm going to go help you. I'm in my little tidy whities. Everyone's like, ew. Like, Pearl's like, no, thanks.
You know what? I'll let you live. Just leave. I don't want to see that.
I'm desperate, but not that fucking desperate.
And that's how we would survive X.
Exactly.
All I'm saying.
Exactly.
God damn it.
So we have Wayne over here wandering into the barn.
I think there's a shot of like Pearl kind of crouched.
Yeah, it looked like she was like milking the cow or something.
I think she was just kind of like watching.
Hiding and watching.
Yeah. And there's a shot on the ground of a piece of wood with a nail sticking straight through it. And you were just like, oh no.
Yeah, and him just like walking towards it with his bare feet.
Yeah.
See again, teach their own, but why? You know, why?
I like that at least it wasn't.
It didn't
like,
do any. It didn't have nothing. It was just like, ow. And that was it. It like didn't have anything to do with the story.
True. I like that it wasn't overly bloody or anything like that. It was like, yeah, it's a nail that went in your foot. It's not going to be extreme. Like, it's going to hurt.
Right.
But it's not going to be blood seeping out of you. And you're not going to be like, oh, fuck. Like,
right.
It hurts. Mm-hmm. I've stepped on a nail before, a much smaller nail.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it did its job with you.
Yes, it did. Did not love it.
And then he just starts rolling on the floor. He's like, fuck, are you? You better be in here. Because this, yeah, I just like, stepped
dude,
on
come
something.
Help me. What the fuck?
And then he sees a shadow moving behind one of the doors
mm-hmm. through these three little holes
conveniently placed
in the barn wall.
He pokes his eyes through them. He's looking around,
which, again, I didn't understand personally.
How else are you going to see
like
through
looking
it?
For RJ, I guess I'd be like, hello. And then I would walk around the side of the barn.
Maybe you could see RJ. Maybe he's hurt on the other side or
right
standing there flipping him off.
Yeah. Fuck you, Wayne.
I mean, I'd much rather that than what actually happens to Wayne,
which is
kill number two.
Pitchfork through the eyes.
It wasn't bloody. I like that.
It was gory.
It was. It was just two prongs straight into his eyes.
Very something about the way he was shot. It felt very early 2000s to me.
It did. I think.
Like the cut, it was like, however they did the effect, it was like, that feels like an older movie. It kind of reminded me of like a Halloween movie or something.
Any early 2000s movies.
I was like, ew.
They just went in too fast or something.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't bad, but it just had that kind of
dated feel. No, it just had that style to it.
Which might, you know, maybe adds to the movie itself, kind of going after that 1979
yeah.
feeling and that filming style.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets the pitchforks to the eye. there is a cut where Pearl pulls them out, and that scared you.
Because it cut away to a different scene.
Yeah.
For a while. I don't remember what it was showing, but then when it cuts back, it like just like jumps back to her pulling out the pitchfork. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, there are a few jump moments that got you.
Yeah. And out comes his eyeball, which was not.
I didn't realize that was there the first time I saw it. So I was like, ooh, gross.
Yeah, ew.
And Pearl walks around the barn inside. And I think this is one of my favorite scenes.
Oh, yeah. We both laughed.
Yeah. Where she has the pitchfork and she walks over his body. And I guess just to make sure he's dead, she stabs him. But maybe it's because she's an old lady. She can't use that much force. So it's just like a little poke, like a
little plap. But it has the little sound effect too. Like she's gently.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like when you're testing a baked potato with a fork.
Wayne was the baked potato.
Yeah.
And after she stabs him, she just starts to put some hay over him, buries him. So the scene that it did cut back to in between her burying Wayne was Lorraine going inside of the house, and she comes across Howard. And Howard says, I need your help. My wife is missing. Mm-hmm. Come on inside. And so Lorraine follows him in. He gets one flashlight and he sends her down into the basement to get the second flashlight. She grabs it and she tries to leave the basement, but the door is locked. And this is when things start to get a little bit weird. She goes back down further and she turns on more lights, and there's a body that's been tied up and it's naked and it's hanging.
Yeah.
And then she lets out a guttural scream.
Ah! Which was used in a lot of the promotion. I remember that scream.
Yeah. I think that face that she makes too was on a lot of the promotional stuff as well. And then I think that's when it cuts back to Wayne. But unfortunately, Lorraine is now locked inside of the house.
Which actually, that cut back and forth reminds me, I really like the style of some of the transitions that they would do. It was like a way to build tension between things that are happening at the same time, where it would cut away. It would like cut back and forth a few times.
Yeah.
Before moving on to this new scene. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to explain, but it was like a really cool transition they did a bunch of times that I liked a lot. I don't think I've seen that before.
Yeah. Just like the comparisons, like we were talking earlier with the lemonade scene.
Yeah.
And then this scene.
It would be like Maxine at the dock. Is that her name? Maxine?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it would show a record player. And then it would show her at the dock again. And then it would show a record player. And then it would show her at the dock again. And then it would show a record player. And then that record player scene would continue. I was like, whoa, that was cool.
So Jackson wakes up. He notices people aren't around. And he finds Howard just wandering around looking for Pearl. And he agrees to help Howard look for Pearl.
And he does so silhouetted in the doorway with a massive... silhouette just swinging around between
it's
his legs.
Hanging
that's,
there.
I was like, whoa, holy, what the hell is he? Good. It looks like he's holding onto a flashlight.
You, man. Yeah, maybe two.
Yeah, Jesus.
So Jackson and Howard go into the swamp area. They think maybe she's wandered in there. And Howard has a shotgun because gators.
That's the story.
Yeah, it is. While also being true.
And also gators, yeah.
So Jackson goes off on his own without a flashlight, which just seems like an awful idea in general. Because
at least he is like an ex-Marine.
True.
Or a Marine.
But without a flashlight, I mean, yeah, he did make comparisons. He was in Vietnam.
He's like, I just got back. Like, I was in war. Like, I don't need a flashlight. I don't need a gun. I'm good. I'll find your old wife. You know, like,
I got you.
I'm just wandering around through your backyard, basically, you know.
He goes wandering around and he does find a car that's like half submerged, which we end up learning belongs to the guy who's hung up in the basement.
Right.
He isn't able to find anything, but he does see a flashlight in the distance and he goes to investigate it. And he thinks that Howard has like drowned or something because there's no one by the flashlight. He turns around and Howard's right there. And this is when Howard's like, I know what you kids are up to. You are trying to seduce my wife.
Yeah, you're always coming around trying to seduce my wife.
And then we get kill number three. Jackson gets a shotgun straight to the chest.
Yeah. I was waiting on that one. I was like, obviously he's going to get shot, but like.
I did like Jackson's reaction to all this too, because after too. Howard said, yeah, you're trying to seduce my wife. He's like, what are you talking about?
He's like, what?
He was more just confused.
You're like, ew.
So I did like that wasn't really, we didn't really see too much of that. It was a kill that was very bloodless because we've seen a lot so far.
Yeah. And it also kind of makes sense, like for the old man character, like she seems to be like, they're both crazy.
Yes.
But she seems to be the really twisted one. And he's almost like the enabler. So he's like, boom, I'm just going to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not like actively stabbing people over and over. You know, he's like a different kind of crazy.
Yeah. Like Howard would have done anything for her back in the day. And we're still kind of seeing that, you know, he does love her.
Yeah.
And he's doing this for her.
And he said a few things like, oh, she gets turned around at night and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, she's psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like broken. You're a broken guy, but you're aware, which is maybe worse. I don't know.
It's funny. It seems like they were meant for each other.
Oh,
cute.
Yeah.
So we did have a scene where Pearl climbs into bed with Maxine. She sneaks into the house. She takes off her clothes and like curls up and just starts like touching Maxine.
Yeah,
and
caressing her with her bloody hands.
Ew. I think she just falls asleep next to her because then Maxine turns over and wakes up and just screams. Mm-hmm. Because wouldn't you if there was some old lady in your bed when...
Yes, I would.
A young, strapping, sexy Wayne was next to you.
Yeah, I'm like, where's my beefy Wayne? Instead, it's...
Wow, Wayne, you really let yourself go.
Yeah. Oh, no. So you wake up to Old Lady Farmhouse.
I like that name, Old Lady Farmhouse. So she screams, and then that wakes up Bobby Lynn. And I like this scene, too, because we just see Pearl just naked.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of
like, oh, oops,
run out of there as fast as you can as an old lady.
Yeah, kind of like bumps into Maxine a little bit on the way out. Or
Bobby Lynn.
Bobby Lynn.
Yeah, so they're freaking out. They can't find anyone else. Bobby Lynn goes out looking for Jackson, for Wayne, for anybody. And that's when she sees
Pearl on the dock.
Old Lady Farmhouse.
Old Lady Farmhouse.
But
standing
naked
on the dock, naked as the day she was born.
Bobby Lynn assumes she's just old. She goes over, she puts her coat over Old Lady Farmhouse, trying to comfort her. She's like, you know, I have a grandma. She's old.
Yeah,
she forgets.
I was almost going to be a nurse. Like, I know what's going on. I'll help you.
And then Pearl gets real mad.
She's like, I don't need a nurse. And slaps her across the face.
Calls her a whore.
Yeah,
calls
you
her a
whore.
Bitch.
And then Bobby Lynn does not appreciate that.
Certainly does not. We get kill number 4 here. And Bobby Lynn gets shoved straight into the lake. And there's an alligator conveniently right there.
Yeah. Just chomp right on her head.
And you see the alligator do its death spin.
Yeah.
Is what it's called, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
And goodbye, Bobby Lynn.
Yeah.
And she ends it by saying, you know, I don't like blondes.
Oh, yeah. Because Old Man River comes down and is like, was that the one? And she's like, you know, I don't like blondes.
Which leads back to what we were saying. It's just both of them enabling each other.
Mm-hmm. And also interesting, I didn't really pick up on. So there's specifically, she's into Maxine, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to like kill everyone but Maxine and then like keep Maxine, which is
maybe
like, is she the one that we're keeping? And she's like, no, you know, I don't like blondes. I heard that different when I was watching it.
Interesting. I assume they're just trying to kill her because Pearl is jealous of Maxine.
Right.
And so far, Maxine has not ended up in a barn or in the basement. Which, let's go back to Lorraine for a second. Lorraine is trapped in the basement with that body. She ends up finding an axe,
mm-hmm.
which conveniently, there's a bunch of shit in that basement.
Yeah, a bunch of tools.
She manages to make a hole through the door, and she gets her hand out, and she's trying to unlock it. She's about to, and then Howard just smashes her hand with, it's either the butt of the gun or the flashlight, but you
he's
see
like,
her
bonk,
hand
bonk, 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 bonk.
Get mashed.
Yeah.
It's gross. I gave you a warning, too. I know you don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, not a fan of bones.
And all things
considered, I like bones. Let me just be clear.
Jeff, you have
bones.
Cool.
I have bones. You have bones.
What?
Oh, you have bones?
No.
I think.
I'm just a gelatinous blob.
Oh. I never noticed that before.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're in luck. I don't like bones.
I thought you just said you do. Oh, no, you have them. But you
I
like
have
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see hers get all mangled up and gnarled.
Yeah, it's
she doesn't love it. She doesn't like
she's
that.
She's not a fan.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
And he points a shotgun at her and it's like, hey, it's you like, get back down there. And she's like, okay,
there.
Oops.
To be fair. Yeah,
I would.
Me too.
Oopsie daisies. Sorry.
And this is when Howard and Maxine both team up in and go into the cabin looking for Maxine. Did I say Maxine?
Yep.
I think I meant Pearl.
Yeah.
All
I was
right.
like, they team up?
My bad. Pearl and Howard, they couple it up. Couples therapy.
Oh.
Let's go murder some kids.
Yeah.
And they have a bit of a tender moment. Very sweet moment. I like that these moments are throughout, but it's also just not great. Does that make sense? It's upsetting that they're having these like cute moments.
Yeah, because they're actively like murdering and mutilating people and then being like, I love you.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm beautiful.
And he does.
Yeah.
And then they proceed to have sex on the bed that Maxine is now hiding underneath.
Yeah.
It's very intense.
Hands down, and you see Maxine underneath and a lot of
old
moving man mattress, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. And this was a shot that reminded me of the alligator shot because it's an above scene. It's an above shot. And you see her crawling, kind of like she, was swimming.
Just uses her hands. Yeah.
Yeah. To pull herself out from underneath the bed. And she just pulls herself across the floor into the corner. And then she just books it out of there.
I was thinking during that scene, like, God, that must have been awkward.
With,
well, obviously the sex scene, but like, but you're both younger people in old people makeup.
Well, the guy who plays Howard is a bit older.
He's older, but he's not like, they're not just old. They're intentionally made to look like really bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, put on this insane old person makeup and then like make out, you know what I mean? That must've been like, okay, hey, you got to like psych yourself up a little bit. Like I'm about to make out with this insanely ugly prosthetic person.
Well, they could have used a body double for either of them because it like,
the, but when they make out even.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
You know, it's like kiss that. It's like, no,
I'd rather not.
Yeah. Cause they're like both of like, even the old dude, he's like, he's an okay looking guy. I mean,
you have to be an actor.
Right. But then in the makeup, it's like, you guys are both hideous.
Horrendous.
And then it's like, yeah, make out. It's like, yuck.
I will.
They're like, yes, please.
I'm getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. All right. So Maxine makes a beeline straight for the van. This is when she sees RJ's body mutilated, mashed. That neck is gross. The keys are not in the car. And she hears Lorraine screaming from the house.
Yeah. She grabs the gun from the glove box.
Yes. Which I did not mention this earlier. So when Wayne first arrived and Howard points a shotgun at him, Howard tells him, hey, I was just, you know, it's not loaded.
Yeah. It's like, I just wave it around. It's for protection. Wayne's like,
I have the same thing too in the glove box of the van.
Mm-hmm. So Maxine, we know, or at least we're assuming that it's not loaded.
Exactly.
She doesn't know.
She does not, but she grabs it anyways. Might as well. You can probably threaten some people with that.
Totally. Yeah.
She goes inside. She opens the door for Lorraine and Lorraine is freaking out. Understandably. She's like, there's a body in there. And then she starts blaming.
Yeah. Maxine. I hate you. I hate you guys.
This all happened because I had sex on camera and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Maxine's like, you need to calm down. Everyone's dead. Just chill. Lorraine's not having it. She books it out of the fucking door. And I loved the scene because we have kill number 5 on our hands. And it happens so fast and so sudden. I did not expect this when I saw it in the theater.
No, I jumped.
And neither did you. You were just like, oh my God.
Because she's like just booking it towards the door. And she gets out. As soon as she gets outside the front door, it's like, boom, and she's down.
She fucking flies backwards. Yeah. And you just hear the shotgun go off. And I was like, well,
she's gone.
Man.
Yeah.
Just so sudden. I love that.
So Maxine ducks behind a wall.
And you hear the two talking and you hear Howard say, I told her to stay down there.
Yeah, and he's like, we'll come back and hide the bodies just like all the other ones or whatever. So it's like, okay, well, now she knows everyone's dead.
Yeah. And they end up grabbing Lorraine's body to drag her in, and they get her into the front of the house. And I don't think she's still alive, but her body has some sort of reaction, Lorraine's.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least it's like a little, like, final,
like a twitch
final
or something.
Moment.
And that ends up giving Howard a heart attack, and he just slumps down and dies. And Pearl's like, oh my God, he's having a heart attack. And Maxine comes around with a gun and she's like, ah, fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah, where are the keys to the van? And she's like, help me, help.
He's had a heart attack.
I'm like,
I don't care.
Yeah, what the fuck? Oh, he is? Hold on, let me help you. You murdered all my friends. But that does show that she's an insane person.
Mm-hmm. Maxine grabs the keys and she confronts Pearl again and she pulls the trigger.
Yeah, she's like, burn in hell or whatever. And then
I respect
click, click,
that.
Click, click. And I was like, no, you would have been fine if you didn't try and pull the trigger.
Even like go out the side door at that point.
Yeah.
That
or like hold it on her and be like, don't fucking move.
Yeah.
And
walk
just
around
go out the front. Yeah.
Although the shotgun is still there. I might still be freaked out by that.
Oh, totally.
And well, that's what Pearl does. She grabs the shotgun after she realizes, oh, that gun's not loaded. And I loved this. This scene was great. She takes the shotgun and she fires it off. She misses Maxine or
yeah,
Maxine
she, like,
ducks.
Sees the shotgun coming up and like, ah, and ducks out of the way. And it blasts like the picture, like where she was standing. And Pearl goes
flying.
Yeah. Flying out the front door, down the fucking steps into the front yard.
Yeah. It was wonderful. I love that scene.
Yeah.
Maxine gets up, and as she's walking out, she goes over to Pearl, and Pearl's like, oh, my hip. I've broken my hip. Please help.
Classical old person stuff.
And Maxine's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I think Pearl just starts yelling things like, you're a whore. You'll never get anywhere in life.
You're just like me.
Maxine says something like,
your beauty will fade just like mine did or whatever.
And she replies back to her, this will be our secret to something that she says.
Oh, it's because she says, I'm going to tell everyone about you. I'm going to tell everyone about you. And then she backs over her head.
Yeah. So Maxine gets in the truck.
Squish, and then she's like, it'll be our little secret.
That's what it was. Yeah, we have,
yikes.
Would you call this kill number 6 7? Because technically, Howard.
That wasn't a kill, it was a death.
Howard, yeah, it was a death.
I'll say that. All so right. It was death number 7, kill number 6. Just to add, just to be make extra things, complicated for no reason.
Absolutely, for this rating system. Yeah. I kind of wanted to go over deaths in this just because it's been so long since we've had them, or a list.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we have kill number 6. Old lady farmhouse gets her head run over backwards.
Yeah. And then, and some just detail I did not need.
It looks like a pumpkin or like a watermelon exploding.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And then it gets run over again as she's driving away.
Yeah.
There's also a scene, well, I guess throughout the movie, the TVs have been turned on and there's this man who's preaching and he's very religious.
Like an evangelical type, like your sins will be, you know.
Yeah. And it turns out that Maxine is this preacher's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just thought that was an interesting way of connecting everything.
Yeah, it was a fun little.
His daughter's like, she's been taken by the devil, but we hope that she will return to us one day.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've learned, she just wants to be famous and she's willing to do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And she slowly drives off into the sunset.
And does a little bit of coke.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because she's been doing it through the whole movie. Yeah, we just conveniently didn't mention that.
The final shots of this movie are fast forwarding back to where the movie began with the cops outside. And they're like, man, this is fucked up. One of the policemen shows up with a camera and he's like, look what we found. What could be on it? And the deputy or whatever replies,
I see one goddamn fucked up horror picture.
And that's the end of our movie.
Yep.
At, I believe, an hour and 48 minutes. I think this movie felt like an absolute breeze. I really liked the pace, I guess, in total overall.
Oh, me too.
I never felt like I was bored.
Mm-mm.
Or like it started to drag a little bit. I liked how much of the setup we got leading up to like the last half of all of the kills and all of the madness happening.
Yeah, I think all the characters were really well written. Pacing was super good. Again, cinematography. The old people wearing old people makeup.
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
Sure.
But I get it. It's a stylistic choice.
Uh-huh.
And also you're making them intentionally like over grody. The top.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the old dolls and stuff. That was kind of goofy. But other than that, yeah, that movie was
all right.
I really liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, there are always a few things I have to ask when it comes to you liking a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a movie you would watch again? Or is this a movie
I'd
would
probably
show
watch
someone?
This again. I'd show this movie to specific people.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about deaths then. Which death was your favorite?
Ooh, let's recap real quick.
All right. The very first one was RJ getting stabbed so many times in the neck.
Yeah, lots of times.
Number two was Wayne with the pitchfork to the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was Jackson getting shot by the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Number four was the alligator death. Number five was Lorraine getting blasted out of nowhere. Technically, we have Howard having a heart attack, so it's death number 6.
And then death number 7
was Pearl getting her head run over multiple times.
Right. I'm going to say I think the alligator death was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it was comedic. Clearly, I feel like there's a level that like intentional comedy there where it comes out like sideways and just grabs onto her head. It was unexpected. I liked the lead up to it.
Yeah.
Where she gave Pearl some fucking attitude, you know, for once. Yeah. So that's probably my favorite.
It was also pretty bloody, but because it was in the water, you just saw it bubbling and going
true,
around.
And not like too much gore, which I didn't realize. That's probably part of it.
I'm going to say mine was probably, I feel like you're looking at me like
I have
you.
A guess.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm curious.
What's your guess?
I was going to say, I always forget her name for some reason, but Church Mouse being blasted through the door with a shotgun.
You're absolutely correct.
Because you seem to laugh the hardest at that one.
It was just so, well, again, the first time took me by surprise so much. I had your exact same reaction, like, oh, fuck.
That's probably my second favorite.
And then this time, knowing what's happening, too, I was just like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so unexpected.
Just waiting for it.
And the camera angle, you just see her running and she gets further away.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like
so
from a distance down, like you're seeing it down the hallway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Although I will say the neck one is my second favorite.
Oh, yikes.
Just because of how gory it is.
Right.
And I would say that was, besides the head crushing moment, probably the goriest moment.
Hand was pretty gory. Well, maybe that's, not. I guess it was more.
Well, just fucked up.
Yeah, because it did show her hand.
Like getting twisted and stuff.
But you're right. I would say that's the two goriest scenes.
Yeah. I liked that I said before that this movie has the gore or like the intense kills in it, but it doesn't go over the top. Although I will say from your perspective, yeah, the knife to the throat kill definitely was the lingering one.
Right.
The camera just watched as you saw the neck get torn apart.
Yeah.
But I think the rest of the kills were all very,
for the most part, not
tame
bad
comparatively.
And for perspective, like we mentioned what's her face is in the new Scream movie, Scream 5.
Jenna Ortega. Yes, Scream 5.
Like that was about, I'd say, as gory as this movie.
I'd probably say, and maybe that's a like little a, bit more.
Yeah. And that's like, it's a Scream movie. I don't know. For some reason, I feel like those are supposed to be, it's more like mainstream in a way where it's like, they're trying to target a larger audience. So I wouldn't expect that movie to be gorier than an A24 horror movie, you know? So it's not, yeah, it could have been much worse for sure.
But that's what I feel like goes back to capturing those moments from this time in that era.
Yeah. And also it feels very much like the priority is making you feel uncomfortable and unsettled and tense more than like disgusted
out,
kind of. Yeah.
This movie, I like to make a lot of comparisons to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original one, because of how gritty and grungy and dirty and gross that it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I don't believe so. I think I saw the new one and I fully hated it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one is not great. Mm-mm. Although the scene on the bus is pretty fucking awesome.
I don't remember that.
It's a bunch of these like new millennials who just get massacred, locked in a bus by Leatherface.
Mm.
And then there's a scene of somebody like recording it on TikTok. And there's like emojis going on. It's dumb, but that's the best scene in the movie. Anyways, in the original, it is not a bloody movie. It's not that gory at all either. Again, I think that was 74, 75. Don't quote me on that. I apologize to the Texas Chainsaw lovers out there, but it's about making you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this just weird family and this girl who just gets captured or kidnapped by them. And it's just the feeling that movie gives me, just the way it was filmed. And that's what X did for me. And that gave this movie a whole other level that I really, really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And they captured it perfectly. Well, let's move into our rating system then. Jeff, out of 5 old ladies beckoning you to come into their house, how many beckoning old ladies would you give this movie?
That's terrifying.
It sure is.
I'd probably give this a 4 beckoning old ladies out of 5 beckoning old ladies.
Hot damn. That's one of your higher ratings.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
high.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I've ever, other than like E.T., given a perfect score. But yeah, 4 out of 5. How many beckoning old ladies would you give this movie out of 5?
I'm right there with you.
4?
4 beckoning old ladies out of 5 beckoning old ladies. We've covered over pretty much the things that we really like about it. I mean, I don't know what it would take to give this movie a perfect score for me. That's why I'm like, it has to be 4, but it's missing something. I don't know what it is, but I really enjoy this movie. I liked it a lot the first time, and seeing it again with fresh eyes while also knowing what was going to happen. Like this is a brilliant movie. It has that, like I said, that grimy aspect of uncomfortable and horror combining perfectly.
Yeah. I also feel like the story is original. Again, like the fact that they're like filming this movie, and also it's not, it wasn't done in a tasteless way, if that makes sense. Like even the fact that they're filming like a dirty movie was very much like of the time, you know, it's like a 70s thing. And it wasn't, for example, the Friday the 13th, 2018, the one with
2009,
the nudity in that movie was like
left and right.
And in a way that was just like, okay, what? Like
it was exploitative.
There's like at a campsite and she like pulls her boobs out or whatever. And she's like, oh, look at my boob. It was just kind of like, what is it? What? Yeah. It was just weird and kind of like, ugh.
All right. I'll stop pulling my boobs out when we're camping, dude. Fucking hell.
And in this one, it was like, what makes sense to the story? I don't know. It just felt like,
I mean, you're
it
right.
All made sense. And it all kind of like the story tied together. I don't know what I was trying to say there, but it felt like,
like things weren't done for the sake of them being done.
Yeah, it was just original and an interesting story. And it portrayed these characters as like more than two dimensional.
Yeah,
where it's like there's the porn director, producer guy. But he's also like, yeah, well, we want to make money. And, you know, I don't want to be operating the strip club forever or whatever. And they had that, like you're saying, the whole discussion where they're like talking about how they operate within that world in a healthy way, and they sing Landslide and shit. I'm like, yeah, this is not what I was expecting for like, it's a movie about people making a porn movie. Like it could have gone like a almost like a scary movie type direction.
And it could have gone in a way where all these characters were very unlikable.
Yeah. And it's kind of like eye rolly. And it's just like, and I get why they do that, the whole like, cause then you're like, yeah, rooting kind of for the killer, but I've never been, I like it better when you're like scared for the character and you're like, oh shit.
Like
it
all
feels
of these,
like a real person.
All of these characters I thought were likable enough and they didn't do anything to make you hate them.
Yeah. And the characters are flawed, but they're not like, let's make these characters just assholes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, why? I don't know. It's just not inner. Like you said during that, I forget what you're talking about, but the VHS thing.
Yeah.
Where the characters are just annoying. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, why make them shitty, annoying people? Like, make interesting characters with their own motivations, like, you know, Church Mouse over here. And she's kind of like learning to accept this thing. And it makes it interesting. You're like, I could watch this movie fully without the old people at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was just about these people like going and making
a movie
in Texas with like the religious undertones. I'm like, that's interesting already. And then it's like, wait, what the fuck? There's like these crazy old people. And then it makes it more like, I don't know. It feels bigger.
Sure. Speaking of bigger, when I saw this in theaters, there was a post-credit scene, which was a trailer for Pearl.
Mm.
And we watched that after the movie had ended.
Yeah.
And
we mirrored that experience a little bit.
Slightly curious as to your thoughts on that trailer.
Honestly, it looked kind of like a fake movie trailer to me. I don't know what it is about it.
I think the brightness, the colors, because we were used to watching just like the grunginess.
More muted, right.
Yeah.
Possibly that. Yeah. And just the fact that it's like a spinoff of this character, mm-hmm. and the fact that it's played by the same actor, something about it felt very like almost like Grindhouse, like a fun fake trailer at the end of the movie type of a situation.
And this trailer was about Pearl, the old lady back in her youth. It's essentially her rise to power.
I will say it didn't look as interesting to me.
I agree. It took me a while to like get myself to go see that movie, which I didn't even end up seeing. I think I talked about on a previous episode. Right. I was going to go see it and then something happened and I was like, I'm not upset.
I just, to go back to what I was saying too, like, I don't think I care about Pearl's motivations. I don't care about, like, I'm going to be a star. That whole weird, I'm like, who cares? I don't know. I would rather rewatch this movie than watch Pearl.
After watching this and then watching that trailer, I definitely for sure saw you being like, I just don't think I care. And I was right. It just seems more of, I mean, you see her just murdering a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And that's not what you were into.
Yeah. Like I liked all the other characters.
This one has characters and a story kind of about them just getting in a shitty situation as opposed to Pearl, young Pearl.
Being a crazy person who likes to kill or whatever. I was like, okay. And you did mention that they're potentially, or they are working on a sequel.
I believe so. Yeah. It's called Maxine. I don't really know too much about it. I just saw something about it pop up when I was online. I can't tell you too much, but
right. And I'm having not seen a trailer, I'm already more interested in that than I would be in Pearl.
Sure.
Because I'm like, yeah, this character is interesting. She went through a thing. I'm curious to see where that goes.
I feel like they might take it into a more Pearl-like area, possibly. I don't know how. they would do that. I have no idea what the story will be about, but I see them maybe taking in that direction.
Right.
Maybe.
I'm hoping it goes into like a, because she still is like, I want to be famous and everything, and I deserve a life, this and that. Like, there could be some stuff with her dad, the preacher dad.
Oh, I'm sure
like,
they will do that.
Maybe a more city, like an urban environment, like where she's trying to like be an actor and there's deaths. And I think it'd be really cool.
Maybe there's something like involving the church.
Right.
That's trying to like pull her back into their flock or whatever.
Yeah. And like some like sinister stuff in that area. And then also like sinister Hollywood shit. And then she's like killing like fucked up producers and stuff. Mm.
It's interesting because I feel like we could probably go online right now and look up some more information about it. But I'm going to say, let's not. And let's just speculate.
Yeah.
Because
and the next
fun.
Episode will be like, turns out an article was posted 5 minutes after us talking about it. Uh-huh. And here's the entire plot.
Or it's like the entire plot's already out.
Yeah.
But we'll see if we look into that next episode or not. Mm. I guess that brings us into our final segment called Tops and Bottoms.
Love it or hate it.
One star review of this movie and 1 5-star review of this movie. Let's start off with the 1-star review. Jeff?
Molly Bob Ward on Amazon gives this movie 1 star. They say, I can't believe I paid money to watch old people have sex. I don't understand why there's so many Rotten Tomatoes for this movie. It was too much for me, with a little barf emoji.
Wow. That scene only lasted like 4 seconds.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
Clearly not.
They're like, whoa, I saw an old man's butt? Fuck this movie. 1 star.
Damn.
It's like, whoa, okay. Fair.
Well, for the 5-star review from insert Baker pun, genuinely one of the best horror movies I've seen in a while. Feel justified in my distrust of the elderly. So that goes to show they're not wrong.
There's no wonder you like this movie, Steve.
It's true.
As you've been known to say, you don't like them olds.
Do I say that?
Is that what you say?
I don't think so.
Don't like them oldies? Something about you not trusting old people.
I don't really trust a lot of people.
Especially the old ones and the especially young ones.
Exactly.
Old people and babies, not your favorite.
I'm either going to get stabbed by the old ones.
Or stabbed by the babies.
Yeah, because they're the ones you least expect it from.
Mm-hmm.
You think a baby's going to carry a knife in that diaper? Probably.
Maybe. A little close. You know, they do have those little pins.
That could go right in my neck.
Boom.
Babies, man. Well, Jeff, I think that brings us to an end of this week's episode here. Let's get on home. Bring us home, country road.
Coming on down from the ground and sitting on the front of the porch. Oh, lemonade in my hand and there's a little leg naked in a brown corn. Come on down and slurp down some lemonade with me. Maybe I can touch your boobies. Maybe you can sleep with me. I'm a little old lady and my name is Pearl. Your boyfriend is super buff and he walks around in his underwear. I'm gonna kill him and all your friends and then I'm gonna go to sleep. And by go to sleep, I mean there's gonna be a van that drives over me.
Wow, you just summed up that movie in a nice little song there.
Yeah, that was, thank you, John Davis Brownstone, for coming in and singing a little outro for us.
I don't know who that is.
He's the famous country singer that just stopped by.
All right. See you later, John Davis Brownstone. Brownstone. Well, Jeff, where can people find us?
You can find the podcast on Hurwitz's House of Horror. Hold on. What was that? Hello? Hello? Is anyone there? You can find the podcast on Instagram at Hurwitz's House of Horror, or you can buy merchandise on Hurwitz'sHouseofHorror.com. You can find me on Instagram at Art of Jefferson or Ugly Cowboy Co.
I just got to say, Jeff, if no one has seen the recent Buffy poster, fan-made Buffy poster that you put up, they can find that at Art of Jefferson.
Yeah, and
Ugly Cowboy
at Hurwitz's House of Horror also.
Yeah, that thing was awesome. You put a lot of work into that.
Yeah, I sat down and I was like, man, I haven't done like a fake movie poster in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to sit and just between like actual work, do something really quick. And then I spent hours doing that.
I mean, it paid off, man. It looks beautiful.
Just like, thank you. Like her body, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but like her body is put together using parts. Like
I couldn't even tell.
Like her... her stomach is used from like a shot of her on the red carpet. Mm-hmm. Her outfit is made using various shots from the Buffy movie. Like her arm is from one thing and her, it was just like, it was fun. It was like a puzzle.
You mean like a Frankenstein Zendaya?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Zendaya's head is from Euphoria.
It's alive.
Her legs are from a different red carpet. I was like, I just need to find really revealing red carpet dresses so that I can then dress her in Buffy clothes.
I like that a lot of people were like, oh, why isn't this real? And it's funny, too. You sent me an article that said Sarah Michelle Gellar also kind of suggested that.
Yeah, she's like, Zendaya would be great. And then everyone's like, oh, shit, that's a great idea. And I was like, God damn it. That was like a year ago.
Well, no idea is original anymore. But I mean, it just means that she should be the new Buffy. Yeah,
it's meant to be.
As you said, hashtag slay.
Yeah. And they were apparently working on a reboot at one point, and that stalled for various reasons. One of those being Joss Whedon's big dumb.
Ah, that would do it.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, who's to say it won't come into fruition in the future?
Yeah, I think it will.
Anyways, you can rate us 5 stars on all podcasting platforms. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, maybe Podbean.
By the way, do you ever check those? Because I realize we keep saying we're going to read people's reviews, and then I just never look.
I check it constantly.
Oh, good.
I do.
I check the star rating, but I never look to see if anyone's ever said anything.
I always scroll down. I'm waiting. We're still waiting. And if you leave a 5-star review, we will read that out on the podcast, and we will not ridicule you. We'll say thank you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Jeff will.
Well, we'll see.
He's been known to ridicule.
Maybe I'll just say thank you.
We'll see. You're going to have to leave a comment to find out.
Yep.
So yeah, please tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your pops, tell your family. Thanksgiving's coming up. So what better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than by listening to us talk about horror movies that have nothing to do with Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm thankful for not knowing Pearl in real life.
Yeah, me too. Well, that we know about.
Uh-oh.
Maybe that old lady that beckoned you into her house to give you...
Maybe that was Pearl.
Could have been Pearl in real life.
It's just really slow acting drugs.
Whoa.
I was like, whoa, that's why I feel so tired. It's been like 14 years.
You are constantly feeling tired.
Yeah.
It's just building up.
Am I Pearl?
Oh my God. Put that axe down.
Come over here, little boy.
All right. What's
young
up?
Man.
Oh, where are we going?
I'm going to make you some lemonade.
Oh, I love lemonade. I mean. Pink lemonade? Wink. Regular lemonade? I don't know where this is going. Well, I think that does it for us here, right? Anything else we got to say?
Yeah, what movie's coming out next week?
Oh, we will possibly be doing Gremlins, depending on the schedule and if we can get a certain guest on, or we'll be doing something else.
Yeah. But keep you on your toes.
We'll be aiming for that for next week's episode. So thank you everyone for listening. And if anybody has any other requests, like with X, please DM us or leave a comment. Leave a comment on how many beckoning old ladies you would give this movie. We would love to hear your response, some of the things you liked or didn't like, or one of your favorite deaths.
And if you're not a fan of typing anything into your phone, using your thumbs for more than like 1 or 2 keystrokes, just leave old lady emojis.
Yes.
Just however many old lady emojis you'd give this movie out of 5.
That's brilliant. Wow.
You know, you don't have to think too much.
Of course not.
Just like, just hit your phone a couple of times.
Do you ever feel like we should have gotten this ending part down like pat and just know exactly what to say?
Oh, yeah. We just ramble for, I mean, Jesus. I got to say, is anyone listening to this moment right now?
I feel like if you listen to the very end, you deserve an award.
Yeah. I feel like if I was listening to this podcast,
uh-huh,
I would have been like, okay, cool. And thanks for listening. I'd be like, thanks. And I would just hit stop.
Yep.
So I'd miss all this.
All of this premium content, all of this witty banter. Oh, mama.
So
thank you everyone for listening once again. We hope to see you back here next week, or for you to hear us back here next week. Did I say that right?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Bye.
Thank you everyone. And as we say at the end of every episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror, I don't know, you might see some fucked up shit on that tape.
Give you some lemonade and I can touch your nipple.